We love talking to this guy because he's named after one of the best punters in football history, Ray Guy Fittipaldo. That's Ray Fittipaldo, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins us on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good morning. After listening to Jim do the update, I'm glad Ola and Chooks go by their nicknames, that's for sure.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, Corafor to you, mister.
So you outlined, we'll get to some other things. Jim had a riveting conversation with Keith Butler, and I mean that, where Keith Butler called this team as fast as the Super Bowl teams. But you did a roster breakdown. You have a potential, this is interesting to me, Jordan Berry getting traded.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, that's just a hunch of mine right now. Ian Berryman has a really strong leg. He's probably not as accomplished as Jordan is at pinning teams inside the 20. I mean, that's sort of Jordan's specialty. There's been some questions about Berryman's hang time, too. But I don't know. Just, you know, the way I look at it, guys, is Berryman has a stronger leg. I think they can maybe work with him on the other aspects of his game. And I don't know. What's the worst that can happen? They can go from 31st in the league in punting to 32nd. I mean, I don't know. At some point, you got to sort of take a chance on a guy, and I think this might be the guy.
Are they ready to take a chance on a guy as their third quarterback and look at moving Josh Dobbs? Would Devlin Hodges as their number three make sense, especially if they feel like they could clear him onto the practice squad and save a roster spot?
Yeah, you know, I'm more in that boat now than I was a week ago, and I think it has more to do with Andrew Luck's unexpected retirement more than anything. I mean, listen, if a team like the Colts wants to come after Josh Dobbs, I think it makes all the sense in the world for the Steelers to listen. Now, I wouldn't trade Josh Dobbs for just a seventh-round pick. I mean, I'm going to be looking, they used the fourth rounder on him just 2 years ago. So, you know, I would be looking to get a mid-round pick for him. I think the writing is on the wall. I think Mason Rudolph is going to be the backup on this football team. And, you can go with Devlin Hodges as your number three. And if it doesn't work out with the Colts, I would have no problem keeping Josh Dobbs. I think we've talked about this. He's still on a rookie contract. He's not costing a lot of money. He can make plays with his legs, and he's a good guy, and he's a good teammate. So either way, I think it's a good scenario for the Steelers. But I think a team like the Colts, if they come after him, I think the Steelers, should definitely listen to see what the offer is.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here. Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Great point. Okay, then it rolls into this question. Why in the world, if we all feel this is happening and the roster's the way it is, why in the world is Mason Rudolph playing at all tomorrow night?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know if you could play Devlin Hodges for three quarters of a football game. Maybe you could. I mean, listen, maybe they just might stick Mason in there for a series or two. I mean, we don't know how it's going to work out, but I don't expect Mason to play a whole heck of a lot. I think what he told us yesterday was Josh is definitely going to start. Mason will come in at some point, and then Hodges is going to finish it up. I fully expect Hodges to play the entire second half, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's in there in the second quarter too. I just think they want to get Mason a little bit of work, get him fine-tuned, for his role, and I think we'll go on with their business after that.
Ray, in your 53-man roster projection that you put up this morning, you don't have Eli Rogers making the team. Why is that?
It's purely a special teams consideration. If you look at those four receivers who are probably vying for that last spot, or the three receivers vying for that last spot, Holton, Rogers, and Deontay Spencer, I think Eli Rogers by far is the best receiver of that group. But, you don't really keep a number six, to have, he's not going to be a big part of your offensive game plan every week. I mean, Darius Heyward-Bey, I think he had fewer than 20 snaps all last season. I mean, he was on the team for his special teams abilities. And I think people sort of lose sight of that. Sometimes there are certain guys who are on this roster just because they excel in their special teams work. So that's the only reason I went with Eli. I wouldn't be surprised if Eli is on the team instead of Holton or Spencer. I just think when it comes down to it, I think he and Ryan Switzer are basically the same player. Neither provides any special teams abilities other than as a returner. And I just think, you know, you got to have guys to fill out those teams. I think Holton could potentially be one of those guys.
Do the Steelers wait till cut down day at other camps and go get a backup for Vance McDonald?
It's complicated now because Grimble has an injury. Tomlin didn't get into it yesterday. I don't know how serious it is, but I don't expect I shouldn't say I don't expect. I think it's questionable if Grimble plays tomorrow night. So whether he was injured or whether he was healthy, I don't know if they have confidence in him as their number two tight end. Tomlin was asked about this yesterday after practice. I forget how it was exactly worded, but, you know, basically it was, what do you think of your tight ends, their work? And he basically said it hasn't been good enough. And that's been sort of the storyline since training camp started in late July. So whether it comes via trade or whether it comes after the waiver wire, I do think they're going to address tight end in some manner. And
Darius Green's looking for something to do, Ray.
He probably is. The Colts have numbers at tight end. I don't know if they could swing a deal for Dobbs, you know, player for player. That's not usually the way Colbert operates. He likes to get draft capital instead. But, yeah, I do think one way or the other. They will have three tight ends on this roster next week at this time. And I'm not convinced it's going to be McDonald, Grimble, and Gentry. I think there might be somebody else in there.
How does that affect, if at all, the shakeout at other positions? Because you've got nine linebackers projected. I don't know what they're thinking about doing, but the guys that keep getting talked about, Ola Daney, who's injured, Gilbert, and then Tuzar Skipper. How does that all shake out? And I know special teams is going to affect it, but should we expect an immediate impact from these guys like Gilbert and Skipper right away, or are they just going to be guys who linger on the 53 and don't dress at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's questionable whether Skipper's going to make it. I've been really impressed with that guy when he gets on the field to play defense, but he's played three special team snaps the entire season. And I don't know if you're Mike Tomlin, how do you put a number four or a number five linebacker, outside linebacker, on your roster and not have him on the teams? I mean, he's not going to play on defense. If he doesn't play on teams, I don't see where he fits in. But I really like him. I think he's got a future. So the Gilbert thing, I don't think Sutton Smith is going to make it. He missed 17 days of training camp due to his injury. It's going to be tough for him to make that up in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about Gilbert possibly making it, Skipper possibly making it if Ola starts the year on IR like he did last year. So there's all sorts of stuff that's going to happen. If they do start guys on IR, you guys remember how this works, right? Initially, Ola is going to make the 53-man roster on Saturday, but they're going to make a move on Monday where they actually put him on IR. So we're not exactly going to be sure what the roster is on Saturday. More than likely, we'll have a better idea what's going to happen come Monday and Tuesday.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Okay, that's enough. Now we have some fun. Are you involved in coaching fall baseball, Ray?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's discuss.
What question is that?
Yeah. Now, how are you getting this in along with your Post-Gazette duties of covering the Pittsburgh Steelers? Has it been tough on you to kind of go multi-sport here and coach baseball and cover football, or what about your time crunch?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It hasn't started yet. It's going to start next week. But you definitely do miss more, you know, in season. That's why I like the spring and the summer so much. You know, I got to do the whole thing in the summer with them when I was off. It's a little bit tougher in the fall, especially on the weekends. But, you know, that's why I have Karen. You know, she's going to be toting them around, and I'll be off in different cities every weekend. But
so that's why you have your wife, to tote around your kids.
What
is 1936?
For the most part, correct.
Is she allowed to vote and have a driver's license and everything, Ray?
She's never voted in her life. I yell at her all the time.
Would you allow her to be a kicker in the NFL?
Boy, we didn't get into that subject. It was probably good, but
no, feel free.
I would let her.
Would Carly Lloyd kick? Could she make it?
I don't think she. Huh?
Could Carly Lloyd make an NFL team?
No, she can't make an NFL team. Didn't she have like 10 step head start booting that ball? I mean, come on.
But I mean, I don't know if she can or she can't. I could answer that question after she went through a workout with pads and everything.
I mean, there's so much more than distance that goes into that field goal operation. And I mean, you got to get it up high early. You got to have the protection. You got to have the timing. She's very impressive, but I just don't think there's any way that she could ever make a 55-yard field goal in a practice, much less in a game when there's 80,000 fans watching.
If that would have been David Beckham who kicked that same exact ball the exact same way, I think a lot more people would be open to giving him a chance.
Yeah, but I don't know if David Beckham – I don't know if David Beckham can do it either. I mean, it's
I don't think
skill.
He – I think he holds about the same amount of chance whenever you put pads and a helmet and stuff on. But I think in just that video with no pads, with 10 steps, whatever, if David Beckham did that same thing, I think more people in the world would be open to giving them the chance of saying, yeah, I think they could maybe have a shot.
But guys, Chris Boswell worked his entire life or his adult life, you know, to be an NFL kicker.
Yeah, look what he did last year.
He lost it within the span of 6 months. I'm just telling you, that's how difficult it is. It's not easy being an NFL kicker.
All right, let
me
ask you this
then.
Your number's retired at Keystone Oaks. We know how good you are as a lineman. When you were growing up in like Pee Wee football or anything, did they ever call on you to be like the straight-toed big kid that kicked the field goals because you were powerful and strong, like a super jock or anything?
No, we did have a straight-on kicker. He was about 6 feet, 270 pounds. His name was Greg Reinheimer. Greg is still around, so Greg was he was like who was the guy for the Browns? Lou Groza.
Yes,
that's who he was like. Yeah, Greg was our Lou Groza back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Did Greg Reinheimer change his shoe as he was running on the field, like?
I think he did. I think we had to, like, throw the kicking shoe onto the field, he'd tie it real quick, he'd boot it, and then he'd come back in for, you know, for kickoff.
Did it have a flat toe like Lou Groza?
Yes, yes. That was the thing, like, back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah, you switched kicking shoes.
Wow. Okay. Well. Thank you much. We appreciate it. We cover everything here, Ray. Where does Greg Reinheimer live?
I think a few years ago he was in West Mifflin. I'm not sure if he's still there now. I haven't seen him like in 5 years or so. But last time I saw him, he was doing well. Probably still kicking.
He'll call the show. He'll text in a little bit. 412-928-9370. Thank you, Ray. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. See you next week.
See you, Ray. See you next week. Greg Reinheimer, getting it done straight on. You know, Ray wanted to – I could tell by his voice there that he kind of wanted to do that. He might not be fully happy with Greg Reinheimer's legacy because he was able to score points. I mean, his number's retired, Ray is, and he has that bust at the middle school or whatever. But I just think that there's a little bit of jealousy with Greg Reinheimer.
Still a little something in there.
Could Greg Reinheimer outkick Carly Lloyd? 412-928-93.